case there's anyone who doesn't, may you please indicate before we start. Right. In case we do, there is our agenda. Unfortunately, it lacks the first two normal items in any agenda, opening and a few words of welcome, especially on this one being our first sitting, so to speak, where we're focusing on committee business. I want to welcome all members to say that our work has begun, but, to make sure that we start appropriately, I would request that maybe we introduce ourselves, who you are, where you which part of Mpumalanga you come from, because I know we're all from Mpumalanga. and yeah, so that we know each other. We'll start from my left and move right round and come back in.
My name is Ntombi. I've been the secretary for SCOPA. My name is Faith Mutambi. I come from the Limpopo province in Toyandu, representing the ANC.
I'm Trevor Bonham. I'm from KZN. Tell everybody. Thank you.
Vern Clankwood from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
My name is Florence Nyanda from Mpumalanga, representing ANC.
My name is Phumzile Ngwenya Mavila from Mpumalanga, member of this committee.
Lina Lakaki Nastam Rawaha Tavigan, Hoshiya Chava Sama Feseko Limpopo. So, KMT ANC, give a noble record me. Thank you.
I'm Sabanoyana from Limpopo, representing ANC.
Good morning. I'm Lewis Matlazi. I come from the Northwest Province in South Africa, and I represent the United Christian Democratic Party, UCDP. Thank you.
I'm Roy Ainsley. I represent the ANC, and I'm from Kwadokuza area of KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. Lorraine Lolo Mashiani, representing Congress of the People. I come from the Northwest.
Sanbonani Nonke, Ikamalamu Naren Singh, Sagadala Yamu Kapita, Kamuga Kwazulu, IFP.
Gerard Kuerno, Halting, IMC.
Representing SASA, Office of the Auditor General.
James
Dietlof de Tooi, Wetkap, DA.
Morning everyone, my name is Mark Steele, I'm a DA member of this committee, I come from KZN.
Good morning, my name is Yanda, I'm the researcher for the committee. My name is Sipho Mala, I'm also the secretary for the committee.
Thank you very much. As you're aware, I'm Comrade Temba Gundi, I chair this committee. I come from Mpumalanga province as well. So we now know each other and we now know we're either from Mpumalanga or KZN. Looks like. All right. Welcome. And I'm sincerely hoping that finally we are now stably constituted. The faces we have here and the faces we'll have for the next 5 years. And we will work together for that period. Unless, of course, I'm removed as chapter then. None of you leave Parliament for the end of the term. just a few things. To welcome back the old members of the committee, Comrade Trevor, Comrade Lolo, Comrade Koranov. They have been part of the committee in the third Parliament. Some of you met in APEC representing SCOPA from the provinces. So it is not a new terrain, substantively. It might be new in terms of, you know, the institution, but the work is still the same. Think, we'll save our finance work. So into this man of us, are you into Angel? Okay. Yeah. I think that we operate here as a committee in two groups. So we divide the committee into two groups that we're going to do administratively. And each group has a convener. That is the kitchen. That is where the job is done. And when we come here, it is well prepared. So we either amend here and there or we agree with the group. And so on. So we will work on that. I'm just trying to check. Do I have my facts correct, Comrade Roy? You are the chairperson of the study group from the ANC.
Yeah.
All right. From the okay. No, I'm. Those are not the facts that I have. I was just asking. That's why I wanted confirmation. So if it has not yet been tied up, needless, fine. Because it has some relevance in relation to what I was talking about in terms of groups and all that stuff. So I think we may need to get that clarity before the end of the business today, so that we can follow up on one or two things. Thirdly, our committee days are Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So we would expect that we need to have these days open. I am trying to think in my own head. Which other extra day can we have so that we're able to have enough time to do as much of our work as possible at a quantitative level and also at a qualitative level? But that which is cut in stone is true this. The venues always change. You know, Parliament does not have enough venues for all its committees. So you may find that today we're here, tomorrow we might be here at another venue, and next week another one, just like that. But I think the staff will be able to communicate this in time. Fourthly, our program, I think it is here in the agenda. We're going to look at that and deal with it. and also, yeah, the program, yeah, I think we're going to deal with that. And fifthly, I want to say to members that our staff is readily available. From how I knew them in the said Parliament, they were readily available and very helpful to any committee member who wants any information. Here I'm not only talking about the two secretaries, Sipo and Jombi. I'm also referring to the researchers Kabelo and Saki, as well as the two ladies from the Office of the Auditor General, Zanele Kendo and Hubusen Klapa. They are readily available to assist you with your work. It might be important for you to have their contact so that if there's anything at any time, you can always help them to assist you. And if there's anything that you need from me or you may need to attend to, you can talk to the two committee clerks or phone my secretary, Latima Jackson. She would also be there to give assistance on anything. Sixthly, hope that six points. I do want to say that the work of our committee is still as has always been, and our committee enjoys and occupies an important space in the machinery of Parliament. And it is important, therefore, that in the discharge of our responsibilities, we take that into account. We are in an economic recession. Money is scarce. So it means the little money that the country has to be used very effectively. I was looking at the estimates of national expenditure this morning, and I was reading one paragraph where Treasury was talking about failure for money. So you try to move beyond mechanical compliance. They finally have complied, but it's a value for money for the country. So it will be important that as members, we have a very clear sense of our responsibilities and strive to do our best. I know that we're not technocrats. We've been deployed by our parties to pursue a political objective. But working here, we sincerely thank Comrade Trevor, Comrade Lorraine, Comrade Warrenoff can attest, and those who are in the National Assembly too can attest that in this committee we strive very much to work as a unit and focus on what is in the best interest.
We
Yeah. So I was saying that it is important that we focus on what is in the best interest of our country and also of Parliament, and to maintain the high standing and high regard for that people have got. But it's not only to maintain, but it's only to raise it. Because in the third Parliament, what we're able to achieve in the second half of that Parliament really was to be able to get the committee reunited and refocused, and to raise its positive profile here in Parliament and also outside. So in the fourth Parliament, we need to say, how do we consolidate and enhance efficiency in the committee in terms of our internal operations, but also how do we ensure that our work has impact in reducing instances of wasteful expenditure, corruption, fraud, theft for money, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think that's where we're at. And also, how do we assist Parliament to find ways of bringing synergy to the work we're doing here in Scopa and the work that is done by the portfolio committee? Because right now, we're like train compartments, each one on its own. So how do we ensure that, how do we assist in ensuring that the work that we do, if it's on health, the portfolio committee is alive to the issues, and they can actually take them up and follow up in the course of the year? Because to implement government policies and service delivery, to use money, there is no service delivery without using money. So how that money is used is very critical. So that is the one part, and I want to stress this element that we need to see each other as colleagues. We have a common objective, and work on that basis. I know the temptation is always great to party politics because it assists to raise the party profile, but I'm sure there are very many issues that can be used for that purpose. And so far as our work is concerned, it would assist us very greatly beyond, you know, the one-liner, two paragraphs you get in the newspaper or some snippets you get on radio, to look at the long-term interest of the committee and to make sure that we operate on that basis. We have created a tradition here that on matters that relate to the work of the committee, it is only the chairperson who speaks on behalf of the committee, so as to avoid having three, four members of the committee talking on an issue from different angles, and we come to the meeting, we are looking at each other on the basis that so and so said this, so and so said that. In so far as it relates to the work of the committee, we would want to make sure that we do it that way. And of course, for me as well, not to use that opportunity to party politic, because then I'm the only one licensed to talk, so I'll talk, and it will not be in our interest. So I'm saying there are those things, but I think these are matters that we can talk to going forward, and in the course of practice be able to reflect and see how we correct, consolidate, and move forward. I want to stop there and check if there's anything controversial that the members would want to have clarified so far on what I said before we go into the into the substantive issues on the agenda. Commit Mashia.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's not a controversial matter. I heard you speak about extending committee days to one more day. Looking at the amount of work that members will be doing, and also that our reports vary in terms of their numbers, in terms of the entities in a particular department, I would propose that we don't go that route, Shepperton. We stick to the 2 days as we've always been, except when there is a need for a hearing, which needs an urgent intervention in, maybe to extend on that purpose. But in terms of just meeting as a committee, to allow members to, especially that most of our committee members are new and still acclimatizing themselves to the how work is done in this committee and learn to be able to interpret the report. Rather speak on that and at a later stage, maybe
in 6 months from now,
consider the proposal that you have made. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the warm welcome, and it's good to meet all the new colleagues, especially some of them are old. We've worked together, but in different committees. I just want to support my colleague here on the issue of the days of meetings. I think one has to have consideration for the fact that not everybody seated here is as fortunate as the ruling party to have an abundance of members that can serve on maybe just one committee for the whole 5 years. Some of us have to serve on more than one, and we have to really manage our time so that we could, you know, give attention to other committees. So I support this, but also say that if need arises, I mean, if we have to meet on a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever, then we must do so. But the other thing is I'd like the contact details of the movers and shakers of this committee to be circulated to us, please. The personnel from the Auditor General's office, the researchers, and the secretariat. Thank you.
As the thing says we all on other committees. And you find that clashing was really taking place. You know, I'm on communications supposed to meet 10 o'clock today and then tomorrow. Now, what do you do? How do I prioritize this? I don't mind making call for number one and empty. I'm just sticking to that. I don't mind.
Chairperson, personally, as far as I'm concerned, I have a difficulty at the moment getting enough forward vision on the planning of the program for us and for Parliament. It seems difficult for Parliament to tell us, you know, what's going to happen in the next 4 months. This is a program. So I would just like to know, how can we get certainty on the program for a few months ahead? The other thing is that if we meet, we must work smart rather than, you know, too many days. I mean, if we work smart on 2 days, it's probably better than if we work stupid on 3 days. So what time do we start? Always 10 o'clock? Or what time do we break? And what, until the afternoon? We can work out our hours. We can pace ourselves, and also if we have an idea of the program in the next few months, then we can, for the reading matter, we can plan our reading so we know what to read and pace ourselves. Otherwise, we're not going to be efficient. So my big problem is to conclude is the program for SCOPA and for Parliament. It is very confusing at the moment. Thank you.
So that I don't lose trail of input. Comrade Trevor, I think SCOPA is your number one committee. Full stop.
I don't mind.
There will be other people in communication. Parliament program, well, obviously it's outside our domain here. But the SCOPA's program, no, it's our domain. We'll put it out ourselves. That's why it is there on the agenda, so we can deal with it. So just be patient. It's coming. Matlani.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have almost the same worry as the gentleman has raised the clashes, especially with the finance committee. And I was believing that if members of SCOPA, for one reason or the other, should be serving as well in the finance committee, they'd be able to pick up issues that would also enhance doing the SCOPA work. But as we're sitting here now, finance is sitting, and it's got its own program on both days that are for SCOPA, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So I'm just presenting this issue as a worry, which means that one might not be able to serve in both committees. So I was saying, can't we just keep to the 2 days, the Tuesday and Wednesday, while at the same time looking into the issue of clashes with the finance committee? I don't know if maybe I'm the only one that has applied to serve on both. Maybe unknowingly that there would be these clashes. Thank you.
My friends with copper, they don't mix oil and water. It is a very busy committee. You can't be on both of them. I think the same would apply to joint budget if it's still there. You know. So or justice. It's just something else. So I think just tell them we're going to be here. Come call them up.
Robert, I think the program that you've put to the committee later, it addresses some of the issues on the method of work, the scope of program, and we will develop into that route. To find the answers now, you're not going to find it. Let's settle into it. Let's get the method of work. Let's work on the scope of program and allocate the reports to members and do the plan. It will get its own momentum.
Thanks, Chair. The other very closely related committee, which many of us, I suspect, might very well be on, is the SCOAG committee, the Auditor General's committee. And that, I know, historically has met on a Friday so as to accommodate the 2 days of SCOPA Tuesday and Wednesday. So I think we should just bear that potential clash in mind. I don't think SCOAG meets nearly as often, but it will obviously have to meet other than on Tuesday and Wednesday. I think we're going to have to be very disciplined about keeping to those 2 days.
I'm sorry we're bombarding the chair with all these questions, but some of us are new, and my question is probably very fundamental. We're talking about working on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. As I understand it, the SCOPA divides into two groups. You describe these two groups as kitchen of the committee. Now, the Tuesdays and Wednesdays, are those for plenaries of the entire committee only, or do those Tuesdays and Wednesdays also include meetings for Group 1 and Group 2, or is other times set in addition for Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, thank you, comrades. I think that's a fair question. Usually Tuesdays is the group meeting, and then Wednesday is plenary. But there is always flexibility. We can have the group meetings, say, from 9 to 11, and then from 11 to 1 o'clock, it is the plenary. So it is very flexible in terms of how it's done. So the Tuesday and Wednesday is for everything, both plenary and the group. So it depends how we plan it from time to time based on the workload before us. Right, and my talk about an extra day is. It's kind of meant to accommodate the amount of work that we have. And I think you will appreciate once we start to finish out the work, that sometimes we'll find that the 2 days are not enough. We do need an extra day. And I wanted us to have that inbuilt right from the start, so that when that time comes, it must not become a struggle to conceptualize our going beyond the 2 days. We will not meet for the sake of meeting. If there's no work, we don't meet. Or we will not meet, but we hardly have days when there's no work. So it's just a lot of work. So I just want it to be clear right from the start that the need for us to stretch ourselves a bit must be included. You know, otherwise, we will have to leave out certain things, rush over things, and then that cannot be true to our credit as a committee. Yes, sir.
So what day do you suggest, a Thursday?
No, I think at this stage, what we can do is to agree that going forward, I think what the COVID machine suggested was let's settle in, and as we settle in, I think like COVID Corona was saying, as we settle in and move along, we'll then be able to sort it out. That's why I'm saying what I wanted from the start was that for us to have it in our mind that it might as well be that the 2 days might not be enough. And so when we say let's put an extra day, mustn't change saying the flight to Ubuntu a few so you can make it on Friday. No. We need to know what this is. So let's move to the substantive items on our agenda. The first one is update on APEC conference. So recall that on the day of our first meeting, that side, the old assembly, we had agreed that in our next meeting there should be an update about APEC. APEC being the Association of Public Accounts Committees. This is an association of the public accounts committees of the 9 legislatures plus the National Assembly. To take us through, I will hand over to Shlasa to do so. And I see there are some documents here. Can you distribute them? Oh, okay. Yes,
thank you, Chairperson. The Association of Public Accounts Committees was formed in 1997 and it's been in existence now for 12 years. The main purpose of this association is to build expertise, deepen the skills of members through training and conference, which are the main events of the association per annum. And there are other activities like research that is done by the secretariat on behalf of the committee. And this association has a governance structure. It has the chairperson of the association, the deputy, the GenSec, and the deputy GenSec, as well as the treasurer. It's a non-profit making organization. It survives mostly on donors and with the help of the Auditor General by providing secretariat for it. I'll update members mostly on the annual conference because I think the agenda item for the day. The APEC annual conference happens every year and is the most prestigious event of the association. It is international. It's attended by people from all over the world where we can afford to send our invitation to. So far we have had people from the UK, Australia, Canada, and many other, even other countries as well as other African countries. And the annual conference happens on rotational basis. Every province hosts a conference. And the first one was in the Western Cape in 2000, and the last one was in Gauteng last year, 2008. So the only institution or member, entity member, that has not hosted conference is National. And we are due to host conference in 2009. Because of elections and many other activities, we couldn't last year in the last parliament come to finalizing arrangements for the hosting of this conference. That's why this year the current chairperson, who is the former chairperson, will give us update as to how far he has gone to be able to help us in framing up the arrangements in terms of parliament agreeing to host this conference. I don't know if agree is a better word, chairperson, you will help me. So far, as secretariat, we have managed to do some basic groundwork, which did not require approval from the powers that be. Things like finding out which venue we can use for conference, always talking to those people, but they would give us time frames and say, if you don't come and confirm by this time, we won't give you this venue because it's business for us. Things like what other activities can we do, just finding out how much it would cost. And we have also done a proposed budget, which an estimate actually of the budget of how much it would cost. It may go up, it may go down. It will also depend on how much Parliament is prepared to offer, should they be willing to hold the conference. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Sasa. May I indicate that whenever a province hosts, I see Limpopo is here, it's still very fresh. The legislature gets involved because of, you know, the capacity requirements to host such an event. So that is why we have had to ask Parliament to come on board. One, in terms of money, and secondly, in terms of personnel. And because of the elections, it was always touch and go. Before we left, I had written a letter to the then speaker. She had approved. All that was left was for the first parliament to effect that in terms of releasing money and availing personnel from parliament to assist. That has been a challenge until recently. Yesterday, in the workshop for committee chairpersons, it was announced by the House chairperson that Parliament has agreed to host this conference. He just said it's going to cost us a bit of money, but they think it is in Parliament's interest in terms of raising its profile and being seen to be assisting in processes that strengthen oversight, that the Parliament is going to make the resources available. There is a meeting today to deal with Parliament's finances. I can whisper to you that there are very serious problems around the funds for committees. We have more committees, but the budget has not been that big. So the money is given to committees is much less than what we had even last year. So they have to sit down and say, where do they stitch it up and all that. So they are going to take a decision in terms of the extra figure. They might give us this amount, they may give us more, we don't know. I know that the APEC leadership is meeting tomorrow, where they need the firm commitment, because we're already late in terms of the preparation. I've got the commitment from the House chairperson yesterday, and even this morning as I was coming here, I reminded him that they must give me a letter that confirms that Parliament is going to be involved, it is going to make some financial commitments, so that those who are going to the meeting in Johannesburg can go with that, and then we can start to make commitments in terms of things like venues and whatnot, they need deposits. So I would say that's where we are. From our side, we had availed the secretariat together with the APEC secretariat based here in the Auditor General's office, that includes SASWA. But we're also waiting that once Parliament committee sells, they have a section that deals with the hosting of events, which personnel would want to bring on board, so that together with our secretariat and the people from the Auditor General's office, we could run with this thing. As you see in the presentation, that the conference is hosted as from the 28th to the 30th of September this year. And although Parliament is national, but it's located in the Western Cape, I wanted to take it to Mpumalanga because we're national. Anywhere is national. So people wanted to come to Cape Town, so I said, no, it's fine, you can come to Cape Town. So it will be here in Cape Town. So we'll be trying to secure the venue later at our convention center or somewhere else. But that is the long and the short of the report. So members can ask questions for clarity or for anything.
Thank you, Chairperson. Two things. One is before we rose from Parliament, as far as I remember, while I was still a member of Parliament, we had agreed to, in addition to the committees that are in place, to put up a committee which jointly becomes a steering committee of the conference. I think in this meeting we can then be able to say which members, in addition to what is in place, to assist the process, so that at the end of the day we need accountability on how we spend this money. We should also be able to say, out of the money that was given to us by whoever, we've been able to spend so much. I don't want to go back to our experiences, so that clearly there is an understanding of what happens, how and when. Point number two, Chairperson, is the issue of a fundraising committee. Now that the country is in recess, what do you call this thing? Recession, in recession. Parliament on its own might not be able to carry us through. And we might have to request companies to give us some money, to donate some money, and then we give them acknowledgement as other provinces have been doing. Maybe that aspect as well would require a committee from ourselves, including also the staff members, to take forward. Sadly, is the issue of purchasing of whatever, the gifts and stuff like that. Booking of venues, whether the venues will be appropriate for guests and members of parliament to sit in, and the transport as well. That becomes a package with the steering committee of conference. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Are you going to go back to what you said?
Okay. So what Nkuputeng was explaining to the members here concerning the officials of APEC. Remember, we've got EXCO members coming from provinces, and as well as from the National Assembly. So we should add that there are 10 plus 5, then there are 50. Because maybe we'll be only concentrating on the top 5 and forgetting about the ex officio members. Thank you.
Um,
I've heard you. We will, in between now and next Tuesday, look, depending on what comes out today and the discussion tomorrow, then we can be in a position then to move in that direction in terms of strengthening. Because what we already have is administrative staff in that steering committee who then need political leadership or political presence, that is, from the members of this committee, who have to ensure that yes, there is accountability for everything that happens, because it is us who are hosting. So I think we can tie that one down next Tuesday in terms of the actual composition of the steering committee that will be running conference, how many people we need, and who are these people. So let's think about it, and then let's have some form of direction around it by next week. Now, if we are together on that one, can we move to the next item, which is consideration of the program? Need the program to be. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Right. Our program is that one pager. And as you can see, it still talks to this week and next week. When there was a meeting last week between the committee secretaries and the management of committee section, the house chairperson, the advice was that the planning should be restricted to the short term, as we're indicating that the parliament program, I think they are really still grappling to tie it down. So if we don't, if we're not clear about parliament program, it then affects our work as well in terms of being able to plan. Otherwise, all things being equal, we will plan for the whole term. So we know what we've been doing and what. But what I know is that Tuesdays and Wednesday will come every 7 days, and we will be meeting. So what we need to do from our side will be to put flesh into what are the things that we'll be doing. So as long as Parliament is sitting, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are just around the corner. Oh yeah. Next week is not indicated here because of the holiday. The 16th of June. Are we here on the 17th? No. All right. No, that's fine. I think it was trying to explain the fact that we don't have next week here. Yeah. I think if you look at our program, the tomorrow we're talking about allocation of reports to members as well as planning, which means by the time we finish here today, some of the documents that you have there that have the names of departments and whatnot, you will have an idea of who is what and which group is what. And I'm sure that all things being equal, by tomorrow we should be able to say, these are the groups. You belong to that group, you belong to that group. And for this group, this is your work. For that group, this is your work. And in that group, then they'll be able to say, right, out of this report, your reports are these ones. You're going to do them. These are yours. So each and every one of us can then say, this is my task, this is my share, and I'm going to do it, and then we'll take it up from there. So that's still the basics that we'll still be dealing with tomorrow. But for the 23rd and the 24th, we were suggesting that we have a workshop. On the 23rd, it is the Auditor General and his team, because you know the Auditor General is not peripheral to our work. I don't want to say central, but at least not peripheral to our work. So it is important that we meet with the Auditor General and his team to say who are they and what is their role in COPA, how do they assist us as a committee and as individual members. As you can see, we have two employees of the Auditor General dedicated to this committee. They are paid by the Auditor General, but they are dedicated to our committee. So, and we will not be dealing with the substantive issue outside the internal mechanism, method of work. How do we work as a committee? How do we do this? How do we do that? Just to make sure we're all on the same wavelength before we plunge into the work. On Wednesday, we would want that National Treasurer, the Director General, and his team should come and talk to us. Because the PFMA, or National Treasurer, has a responsibility to ensure that the provisions of the PFMA are adhered to by all public institutions, or all institutions receiving public money. So, and besides the PFMA, National Treasury issues regulations that regulate how departments should manage and administer public funds. So they are very central to the very legislative environment that we are oversight. So, and every time we're hearing Special Treasury sends people, so that if anybody says we didn't get money because of Treasury or Treasury said this, then they can be there to answer for themselves on why they did this or why they didn't do ABCD. So we're saying that on the 24th we would have National Treasury to come and talk to us. So as one of our key stakeholders can talk to us so that we have a sense of what the issues are. So those are the two items. And this does not include, and I'm sure that after the 24th, we should be able to plan, and once we have our budget, we can be able to plan in terms of when can we have a strategy session to say, as a committee, what do we want to achieve in the next 5 years? So that each year we have a series of activities that are aimed at achieving our goals that we have set right from the beginning. A 1 day, 2 day retreat, and that will deal with the substantive issues, not only in terms of our plan, but also in terms of what are the fundamental substantive issues a re-talk on, or a re-look at the PFMA, and what are the issues, what are the things, and all that kind of stuff. But at this stage, it is the stakeholders introducing themselves and how they are relevant to our work as a committee. Let me stop here and hear from members. Yes, sir.
Chair, thank you. I don't know if it's going to be presented to us tomorrow, but I would have thought that at some stage fairly soon we need to have a report from effectively the scoper of the third parliament as to what are the outstanding matters, which issues were left over to this scoper to deal with, where do they come from, what are the priorities, and are we going to be getting a report at that time?
If there are any outstanding issues, I'm saying if there are outstanding issues, I think it would be good to qualify it that way, if there are outstanding issues, so that we don't sound preemptive. If there are outstanding issues, let me see, where is my program? status report. I think status report will deal with those things. We'll have it covered. We have it covered. Issues that were stemming from the state parliament and whatnot, or what they call legacy issues, they will be dealt with. That's what you said. Item in the agenda is meant to deal with. So, let's take it easy. We'll get there. But on the 23rd and the 24th, I just want to hear if there's anything, Comrade Masha. No, I wanted somebody to talk on the 23rd and the 24th. If you're fine with that, we can pass. Hey, woman.
I don't think that there's a problem with regards to the workshop that we're going to have. I think that is the point where we're supposed to start, so that as a committee we really understand what is it that the Auditor General is expecting from us, and also what is it that are we expecting from the AC. I don't think that there's a problem with regards to the workshop. I think it makes sense. Thank you.
This is what we have, but once it becomes clearer in terms of the direction that the parliament program is taking, we should be able to plan on a longer term basis. And I think probably by the time we meet on the 23rd or 24th, we should be having some sort of direction, and then we can put that to members, and then we can see how we. Yes, Member.
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. Before you move on item two, there's a document that was circulated, APAC Member Orientation Training Workshop, and I don't know when you're going to deal with that.
No, you are right. Well, you see, Mr. Peck was my headman, was my evil. So I wanted to play that role. I had not read this one, but I knew that we're having a training workshop for APEC, but I had not. Last year.
Before you step off to that point, because we're dealing with matters in relation to departments, I don't know whether it will be appropriate for this request purposes. And I think it is relevant to this committee for us to be brought on board on the problems within health, what they actually are. I thought we could maybe agree to commission the Auditor General running parallel to whatever work that we are doing to prepare a report to maybe looking at their findings, a special report on what is actually the problem in the hospital and the medication. Which patients are not receiving, all the blockages, and why there's no sheets and blankets in hospitals, more especially that it's winter. Thank you, Chair.
person of department would come and give you the status report. maybe let's address what Umnumzana Singh has raised here. And then, no, we'll deal comprehensively with the issues you have raised.
I'm speaking something.
About what? I'm saying we'll come back to it. I just want to clear this one. Okay. To say that as we spoke about the APEC conference later this year, one of the things that APEC does is in every year there is a training that it hosts for its members. And there are topics that are selected or agreed upon for that training workshop. Now, this being the new parliament or new parliament, it was anticipated that we may have new members to the committee or committees, and that it will be important to have a central workshop on specific identified topics that it is believed if members go through those topics, they would have a fair sense of what it is that they're supposed to do. Now, with the elections having taken place in April, it was estimated that by July, all public account committees will have been constituted. And therefore, we can have a training workshop that is national with the topics that are indicated there. But that beyond that, we ourselves, as SCOPA here in the National Assembly, we may need to say to ourselves, what are the needs of our members here? And we then organize our own localized training that looks at the needs of our own members. But this one is being organized for national and the 9 provincial legislatures. As you can see, it is going to be held in the Pactonian Hotel in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg. A registration cost is 1,950 per person. And then the closing date is the 19th of June 2009. And the whole sort of information that is there. And then you have a registration form. But members don't pay for the registration cost. It is the committee that pays. But what the committee needs to know is who are coming. So we fill in the registration form, then we know we have 10 people. So it will cost us 19,000 rand. The accommodation at the hotel will also be borne by the committee. So all we need to do is to indicate that we're going. And then everything will be arranged from our flight, wherever we are, going to the conference and also going back wherever we'll be coming from. So I think we are going to ask the Mnumzana. Ngoba uma bathi bayifuna by not later than the 19th, it means that we need to have this form filled, and before we leave on Friday, if the secretariat could have them, because we must then start the long process of writing to parliament to requisition the money, and the system here is as low as we can wish it to be. So the sooner we do it, the better. And I would encourage that all members, in fact not encourage, it's an expectation that every member of SCOPA should attend. Because if you don't attend, how do you want to come and work with us? When we don't have a common base in terms of how we're going to do our work. So, please, let's complete this form. Mine, Najima will complete it for me and hand it to Dom. Then we'll take it up from there. Before we deal with the status report, Comrade Mashiana has raised an issue. Matlazi.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm listening to what Honorable Mashiani is saying, and it rings a bell somewhere that most of the issues that she wants us to revisit could be issues that could be addressed by the portfolio on health. And I was asking myself, will we be running in parallel with the work that they're supposed to do? Because when things are not doing well in hospitals or health institutions, it is the portfolio committee that should visit that institution, talk to the department, and check on what is happening there. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I was going to say, let's do it this way. We're going to allocate the work to the groups. And health will fall in one of the two groups. No way. It can't be anywhere else. And then, once it is in that group, it is definitely going to be allocated to someone. And then that person will then have a look at the annual report of health. And if there's anything related thereto, we'll then raise it, including what she has raised, and then we'll deal with it at that level. As and when it arrives. I don't want us to lift it out. Let's allocate the work, and let somebody, whoever is dealing with health, look at health and whatever else. And if there are issues, let them come, we'll discuss them, and then we'll have a way forward. On the status report, Sanele Keto can talk to the status report.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have a mic. I hope all the members are here. I support the statement that SCOPA and the body health manual decided to introduce. It has got list of all the departments and entities that are coming to SCOPA with their different numbers. And also, it's there to keep up to date the members, the reports that are there, that is the case from different departments, so that we'll be able to see that this department receives a report to the department late after so much, so that if we have to deal with that issue, that it will be quickly and easy for you to deal with. So the different columns that we put there, one of them.
So one for anything maybe one, let's say the report was received and then it dealt up to so much as over, there's a comment column where we will keep on up to date.
What I'm saying, Professor, is that the signals report has got different columns. For instance, we've got the date when the report was
issued. What is the status report?
A status report is a document which has a list of documents and the entities of the all the departments. It's got all the departments and the entities that belong to that particular department. So it's there to keep up to date the members on how far
we are dealing with that department. When we received the department, is it on the right date or was it late? But that information will also appear on the ATC. But seeing that we don't come to committees with ATC, we just rather prefer to put it in the status report. So if maybe we want more information about, in fact, more columns, maybe one who can feel that those columns are not clear enough or the better columns we wanted to add, we can discuss that, then we add it there. Any information for that? Thank you.
Yes, Commodore?
You see, it looks like a very important report, but I don't quite understand how it all fits together. You've explained some of the columns, but I wonder if you could perhaps just use an example. Just take one line or one report and say, then go column by column and tell us what the significance of each column is, so thereafter we can understand the meaning of all the other entities listed in the status report. But I get the feeling that this is a very, very important report, that this is in fact where we begin our work. And especially the new members like myself, I think we need to leave here knowing exactly how to read the report. I'm not saying go every item, every column. Give us one or two examples, so thereafter we can read the rest of the report ourselves too.
Thank you, honorable member. For instance, if you take the most first schedule, which is PSMA schedule. That one will indicate, remember on the PSMA we've got the schedule 1, 3A, it's all appearing on the PSMA, then it's based on that one. The report name is just Department of Agriculture. It's stating all the reports that we have. The PR number only available for some entities. If you're looking at the report, the outside page of the report, you will see there that PR number. Sorry, RP number. As it stated, there some of the reports don't have it. But definitely the department itself, they do have it. Financial year end, that will state for which year is that particular report. The date report tabled, there's a particular date when the reports are supposed to be tabled by department. So that is what is going to indicate, that's where you are going to see whether the report was received on time or not. The ATC number is the one that is coming from Parliament. That Parliament will, every time there's a report tabled, it will appear on the ATC to say this report was tabled. Then that agrees with that. The Section 65 explanation date. Sometimes the reports are not tabled on time, and there's a specific reason why those reports are not tabled on time. And the department normally will write that this report is not going to be tabled. All those things will appear on the Section 65. Report, then that's what is going to give that explanation. The comments, notes and remarks is what maybe members will be telling you. Now it depends on us, the secretariat and us. We will be telling you that this report was dealt up to so much. We'll just give you a brief summary of how far are we on that report. Thank you very much.
Right, I suppose it should be clear. The status report is used basically to help us track whether departments have submitted the annual reports or not. And if they have submitted, when did they do it? Because they don't submit at the same time. So the secretary, especially the AG's office, they help to keep us updated So if you have all the lists, then you are able to see it is this entity and that entity that have not yet submitted. These ones have submitted, and if they have submitted, it means that the committee must now start to deal with that annual report because they submitted. So it helps us to track whether submissions are done in time, and the comments at the end. So there they've just included independent auditor's report included or portfolio home affairs. Practically what will be happening there in when it is in the group or even when we are in the committee, it will be to say the report has been submitted, has it been processed in the group or in the committee. So if it's processed, like it's categorized, it has been categorized. So it means it has been acted upon. So we also keep track that when you are given work, what are you doing with the work that you have been given? Are you doing your work or are you just sitting with a book and doing nothing about it? So it is a tool that assists us to have a sense of what is happening and where we are. That's why it is called a status report. What is the status of the annual report? Are they in Parliament? When they are in Parliament and they are in our hands, are we processing them? And who is not processing his or her work? So it is a tool that assists us in our work. Hosh.
I think as you continuously trying to emphasize the explanation, I got it very clear because I was wondering whether the Section 65 explanation 8 are specifically meant for the column that is, you know, on the thing that then I said that, okay, you know, convince myself that it's just like that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That is, in terms of the law, if it did not meet the deadline for submission to Parliament, the editorial department is obliged to write a letter to Parliament to explain why there is a delay. Mm-hmm. So you find that some will delay and not even write a letter of explanation. So we would know there is no submission, there is no letter. But if there is a letter, we will know there is no submission, but there is an explanation. Yes,
sir. Chairman, do I get it now that if I look at the first, the third column, RC number, that number is a specific number that you quote if you want to see the report? Okay. Then the finance year, and we all understand. Then the date the report tabled, is that the actual date it was reported, tabled? Oh, yeah, at Parliament. Okay. Now, how do I know when it should have been tabled? Because I don't see a column there that gives you the date it should be tabled. Because I look at this date, explanation notes, the one is 28 October and the date reported was 31, and the one on the bottom is 17 October and 29, which the one means it's after and the one is before. So what does that mean in fact? Because if I see here no explanations, do we accept that it was on time? So, but I don't know what time the report must be in.
If the financial year end is the 1st March.
The report should be in end of September. So if it was tabled like this one that you're referring to on the 26th of October, it means it's late. Mm-hmm. And because they've missed the date, they must write to Parliament and explain why they've missed the date. Mm-hmm. So probably received the Section 65 explanation on the 29th.
Chairman, then I look here and I see here November, Arts and Culture, 18 November, but there's no note next to it.
They didn't explain to Parliament and let us know why they haven't. Okay. Maybe it will be easy to report.
Okay.
You may query that and check with the department, why are you not saying anything to us?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's going to be useful for all of us here to be favored with copies of the PFMA, MFMA, and all other instruments and tools which we can read in our offices and during weekends. So the kind of question that colleague asks, you know, we can familiarize ourselves because we must all count ourselves as new, except for yourself and colleague Lorraine and Trevor. So I think we need to. But having said that, Chair, I don't want to preempt discussion at the workshop because this may arise at the workshop. Once the reports are tabled, who determines the priorities? Who determines which report needs to come before the committee and be interrogated? Is it the Office of the Auditor General, on the advice of the Office of the Auditor General, or is it a discussion arising out of the committee? What methodology is used?
You want to help? Okay.
Professor, maybe you should have requested Pietro to read that document in relation to the document that we normally use for the group, because there's overlapping information there which could assist the members with further information as we're doing our work on a daily basis. Otherwise, we would have to say we need an A3 sheet to include everything in this document. But this then becomes further information put in by the group, different groups in their ministry. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
On the last column, on comments, notes, and remarks, I would like the presenter to clear the air regarding portfolio committees, because I raised an issue about the relationship between SCOPA and the portfolio committee. Now, here is reference. After some issues have been dealt with, it says portfolio, whom assess. Portfolio, provincial and local government. What does it actually say?
It's not saying much, really. Yeah, I'm explaining, but that's my starting point. I'm saying it's not saying much, really. That's why I said there in the comment, it could be anything that is relevant. And I think by writing Portfolio Committee Home Affairs, all it says is that even though the IEC is a constitutional institution, but it is part of Home Affairs. And in Parliament, the part that deals with policy matters of the IEC will be dealt with by that portfolio committee. They could have written anything. They could have written any comments if there were any comments. That's why earlier on I said, if this was now in the middle of our yearly work, we would have written whether the report has already been categorized, has already been processed or not. That's what would have appeared there on comments and remarks. Because then, like I said, this is supposed to assist us to have a sense of whether reports are submitted to Parliament, and once they're in Parliament, are we processing them? So we put that information there, where you have comments, remarks, to indicate that this has been processed or not processed. So what they've put there about portfolio committees, these independent auditors report included, it is just but an example and an information that does not say much. There isn't a lot to it than just that. Otherwise, I'll order them to TPEX. No. She. Just delay us. There's nothing. There's nothing to betray. There's nothing to write home about. Kumete.
So I think I've been partially covered by Honourable Ritsui. Yes, that I think the PFMA is here on the time frame for the tabling of the annual reports, and also
the processes that are supposed to be followed. If the annual reports are tabled, and also if the annual reports have been tabled, have not been tabled on time, which indicates, Chair, that I think there's a need that in one of the internal workshops that we're going to have, just to have a brief on the PFMA and also the MFMA, so that this committee will clearly understand what does the PFMA say on financial matters. Thank you.
No, I was just saying, you were right, Chairperson, yes, we can write anything there, and the reason we have written portfolio committee, the Home Affairs and the other one, is because the reports of those entities were inside the main report of portfolio committee. And also, when we've written independent auditors, is because we're trying to make it easy for the committee to know, should they call for a hearing, who is going to be their expert advisors, is it the AG or is it the independent auditor? It's, we really write anything that's relevant at that time.
See, I think this second report that has been explained must also be written, be read in conjunction with the other reports that we've been presented with. It cannot stand on its own, because the audit outcomes of the department and the state entities must also be linked to this report, whether it's qualified, unqualified, disclaimer. That gives you the real status. And then you go a step further with the other reports, the report group 2 and for group 1, where you have the empty columns. When is the table, the category allocated to that report by the subgroup, the hearing date, the questions, the reply. So it cannot stand on its own, the status report. It's a whole process that we need to follow through the committee to make sure all the work has been done, properly reported, and appropriate action taken. So it's a lot of reports that talks to one another, but I think the one moment we go into the subgroup, it'll come clear.
Yeah, correct. So among the documents that we have these ones that are Standing Committee on Public Accounts considers that report group 1 and group 2. As you can see, if you are in group 2, you are going to deal with about 127 reports. That is the 5 of you or the 6 of you. And if you are in group 1, you will be dealing with 171 reports. The 5 or 6 of you. So that is the kind of work we have, and that is the kind of work that will call for an extra day. So, but let's see how it goes. So, I think when we once we have then divided the committee into two groups, those who do group 1 will have their work cut out, 71 reports, and then group 2, there will have their 127 reports. But maybe we may need to look at trying to put a balance, or we'll just group 1, we'll make sure we put the heavyweights, the real big, strong people. And I'm talking in terms of physical strength. Group 1. It doesn't need strength. Oh, okay. Alright, and then once we're there, so you can more or less divide. If you have 171 and you are 5 or 6, so you can more or less have a sense of how many reports you will be having.
Right. I'd like to know, because you must explain that for the smaller parties, it's compulsory to serve on both committees.
Mr. Chairman, just to get back to this thing very quickly, I see it is a spreadsheet. So there is a function that you can click on that it gives, brings up the explanation. So So I was wondering if they want to do that, if they can do it, then they can email this to the members that want it. And then we can go and click and see what the comments are, if it's possible. So that will clear up some questions before we get to the committee meetings. Thank you.
No, don't worry. It will be cleared. You see, as you can see, this was done. Oh, as at the 31st May 2009. All right. Even if they email this to you, you are going to get it as it is.
Yeah.
So there will be no updating, because I think all entities have submitted, isn't it? Yeah, all the reports are here in Parliament. What is left is for us to work on them. Now there is a fourth document, written audit outcome for department 2007-2008 financial year. As you can see, it indicates to you the name of the department, the audit opinion for 2007-2008, as well as the previous year. So you have a sense whether the department is going backwards or it is consistent. Yeah, I didn't want to qualify. Consistently bad. So, as you can see, we already held hearings with the NPA and Correctional Services, as well as the Land Bank and Home Affairs. Now, if you go to the next page, you'll find that they were put all the unqualified departments, but of course, they are unqualified with other matters and all that. And I think that goes up to page 3. Now, if you go to page 4, it is the audit outcome for public entities. We've done the same thing. You can see there you have adverts, disclaimers, qualified, adverse, disclaimer, qualified, and disclaimer, qualified, and disclaimer, qualified. So it gives you a sense of what is there. Now, in terms of a yes, ma'am. Well, I was actually about to talk to the legacy issue, the outstanding issue. And one of the outstanding issues is that very one. Here you'd note that in the annual report of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, there is the audit for the department itself, and then you also have audit for some of its entities. Now, the third party funds or monies in trust, that is money that people pay for bail what is this other thing? Fuckwell. Maintenance, fines, and all that kind of stuff. So that is held in a separate account and administered separately and accounted separately. Now, if you go and read the report of the Auditor General on that thing, it's really shocking. Because this is money for vulnerable people, and it's just the Wild West. Unlike. But when we met with the department on two occasions, they are arguing, or the DG, arguing that he doesn't believe that it is the responsibility of the department to administer those funds. It is a problem. The department, its main report, I think if you check, you'll find that it's probably qualified, I think, of justice. Yeah, justice is qualified. So it can't maintain its own, administer its own funds. Now it is given a burden of maintaining these hundreds of millions of rands or billions. It is something else. They want it out. And our argument was that that's a policy matter. But as things stand right now, you have a responsibility. Now, if you feel so strongly, you should talk to your minister, talk to the portfolio committee. So we felt that maybe we need to have a meeting with the department and the portfolio committee, and we talk to this issue. Because we get a sense that there is a reluctance to actually actively deal with the problem. So the problem is this. So it is one of the legacy issues that we think we need to deal with. And as we talk to our program going forward, it is one of the issues that we may need to find time, talk to the portfolio committee, and call the department, and the three of us sit down, and we have a very clear understanding that there is no way in which people can deposit money, and the department is unable to account how much money has been deposited, where are the receipts, how much money has been withdrawn, and all that. So it is one of the legacy issues that we have marked down that we need to deal with. The second issue arising from the said parliament that we did not finalize was the issues around the arms deal. You recall that sometimes at the beginning of last year, we had on our agenda an item that required us, as the agreement of the committee, to go back and look at the last resolutions of SCOPA on the arms deal around 2001 to check what is it that departments have done to implement the recommendations of the committee. So, and also, one of our members had requested that the item be put on the agenda because he would want it debated. We agreed to that. We discussed it. There was a request that we must reopen the investigations on the arms deal. And we said, we are not averse to investigating anything, including the arms deal, if and only if there is new information that points to wrongdoing. What we will not do is to go on a fishing expedition, shooting in the dark. Now, but as a committee, we then decided that anybody who has any new information should bring it to us. We'll look at it. If we're convinced that it is new information that points to wrongdoing, then we'll take it up. So it was on that basis that we then asked members and anybody out there who has any information to bring it forward. Now, a number of submissions were made by a number of people overseas, here at home, and went through each and every one of the submissions. There were issues which we found that we were going to meet with the Department of Trade and Industry around the Industrial Participation Program. So we said this we're going to find out from the department. We were going to meet with the NPA because in the resolutions they were investigating certain things, wanted to check how far they've gone. some of the reports dealt with the matters of that nature. So with that time, we're going to find out from the NPA when they appear before us to tell us how far they've gone on these matters. And indeed, the DTI came. We spoke with them about the industrial participation program. The NPA came. We spoke to them about the issues that they were investigating. They gave us a report. Now, there was one submission from one Richard Young, who in his submission alluded to the fact that he had information that had not been seen by anyone before, which confirmed that the final report presented to Parliament by the Joint Investigation Team had been doctored. He had the original report, which means the Auditor General, the Public Protector, and the NPA had presented a false report. The original one that he has, it's well, it was 700 pages, and the one submitted was 300, 400, and that there were material changes. So that is the one issue that was left. We then wrote to him that he should give us that report so that we can have a look at it, read it, and see if indeed what he's claiming is true. Now, there are things that he has sent to the committee via one of our one person was our committee clerk. We had three secretaries, Keshwin Dixon, who unfortunately because of the recession has now been taken from us, although they claim temporarily, to the NCOP. Now, that information was supposed to have been provided to us on the last day of the sitting of the committee before Parliament rose. And we decided that it would not have been useful for us on the last day to consider that information, because anyway, we're on our way out. We needed to exercise our mind appropriately and properly. So we agreed that that information is going to be frozen. Pending the constitution of the new committee. So we're now constituted as a new committee. It is a legacy issue. But what is going to happen is that I will get those copies of what has been sent, and in one of our meetings dealing with legacy issues, we'll have a look at what is submitted. What is submitted indicates that indeed Parliament was lied to, then those who wrote that report will be called. But if it indicates otherwise, well, we'll have to wait for the day when somebody with new information will come forward and we'll take it up. So those are the legacy issues that are there that we'll need to take care of. I understand that there is a meeting starting at 12 o'clock in this venue, implying that we have 2 minutes to clear our desk. We're not aware from the beginning that we have that kind of time constraint. But I think those are the two issues. So can I throw it back to you, members, and here is any question on the issues that I raised right now? Yes, Hosh.
Yeah, I agree that you'd go through the documents and circulate amongst ourselves, and we'll make a well-informed decision, you know, after going through that. For now, we will just, you know, speculate that indeed let's go forward or not go forward. I would add that let's reserve our comments up until then we've been exposed to the content of the report. Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner.
A general question, not related to the arms deal. A number of departments have also individual entities which report to those departments. Like science and technology, I'm familiar with that one. Number of entities, 10 or 12. Do we deal only with departmental audit reports or also with individual entities?
Individual entities as well.
they should be listed. If they are not listed, it's something that needs to be corrected. Yes, Matladi?
Chairperson, the issue that you addressed last on AMSTIL, where is it? Because it doesn't appear on our status report, nowhere else. Supposing you didn't come back, how would we know the information that you have just given us? Is there any record on that would be telling us the brief that you have just given us? Because one is interested in reading, even before that report that's coming can be given to us. I didn't see it in any of the status report here to say that it is an outstanding matter. It just comes from your remembrance.
Yeah. No, it most certainly would have come. I think the minutes of our last meeting would attest to that. I think Domi should be able to draw up those minutes. But all the minutes will say will be that the submission by Richard Young must be referred to the new committee after the election. It will not give you details about anything else. So you may need to get the minutes going back up to April last year, because it was dealt with in April and then dealt with after 4 months, after 3 months, after 2 months, after 6 weeks, just like that, so to just piece the information together. Yeah.
Chairperson, you might remember that I mentioned last time the faces and the names. If we could get that finished, I would appreciate it.
All right. Tombi, get the list of members and their contact details and circulate them among all members of the committee. Yes, Tombi.
Chairperson, on the unfinished issue, I don't think it's necessary for us to go back to the April last day minutes. I think because you have explained to us that it is a legacy issue, and it appears on the last minute of the meeting of COPA, I think that will be enough. Otherwise, if you take it back to April, it's going to create, you know, that vicious cycle again of things that we did not agree to as the last committee. So I think it is appropriate that we acclimatize ourselves to the last minute in the document that is coming.
Yeah. Let me thank you very much, comrade. But let me make this provision that if a member of the committee wishes to go into that history as an individual, we will afford that member that opportunity. But however, the long and the short of it is that they will get those documents from Richard Young, look at them ourselves, and then decide on what to do based on the content of the information we have submitted. Right? Thank you very much. Let's meet tomorrow. Tomorrow is E337. Same floor, the other side. But we will spend some time.
Thank you. Thank you.